Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in our gospel lesson, we deal with the subject of the teaching of Christ that certain signs will be given which alert the believer to the coming of the Lord. Now, there are three different kinds of signs spoken of. There are the heavenly, final, celestial signs, which we see talked about in the first verse of our gospel lesson. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, distress of nations and perplexity. Those are the final, last signs of the coming of the Lord. The second kind of sign is the kind of sign that recurs time and again throughout history in order to serve Christians in making sure that they are reminded of the coming of the Lord and that they see to it, that they watch and pray. Some of these signs include things talked about earlier in the chapter, like the rise of many different kinds of false prophets, false teachers, and false Christs who seek to deceive us and rob us of faith. It talks about wars and rumors of wars and commotions among the nations. These things, they happen throughout history as reminders to us that we watch and pray. Also, things like earthquakes and famines and pestilences, very much like the pestilence that is currently plaguing us today. These are signs which God places in his creations recurrently so that we may see them and be reminded of the coming end of all things, the day of judgment and the day of our redemption. The third kind of sign that we encounter in our text is the sign of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which took place in 70 AD. The people of Christ, the Jews, had rejected their Messiah, and Jesus prophesied that because they refused to see the day of their visitation, and they would not know the things that make for their peace, therefore their house is to be left desolate. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And many of the other signs that he mentions in this chapter occurred initially in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem. This is why Jesus says in our gospel lesson for today, he says, "This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled." The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was a prophecy, a miniature, and a type of the coming end of the world and the day of judgment. That is, in the first century AD, the end of the national and religious life of the Jews took place as a precursor, a miniature, a prophecy, and a type of what will happen when we draw near to the last day. So what took place in miniature in the first century is a picture for us a prophecy of what will take place on a grand scale when Jesus Christ gets ready to return to judge the quick and the dead. We Christians are taught by Jesus here to watch, to pray always, and to be vigilant and alert, that we, when we see these signs, we do not act like the world acts and say, oh, this is just a perfectly ordinary natural disaster. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know, things like this happen. No. Just like when your body is ill, it shows itself in outward symptoms. You might have a fever. You might have a sore throat. You might have a very tough cough. Or you might break out in spots. And these symptoms tell you that something is wrong. And every illness that a Christian endures or that a person endures is a sign of their eventual mortality and death. And so it is with the world. The signs that recur throughout history and the signs that take place in special revelation of God, especially towards the end, are meant to cause us to understand what's taking place and to make sure that our hope and our longing is in the coming of the Lord. So now we get to our gospel lesson for today, and he mentions that the sun, the moon, and the stars will have signs connected with them. In Matthew's gospel, it says that the sun will not give its light, nor the moon, and the stars will fall from heaven. Right? These signs mean that the Lord Jesus is coming. And these signs are accompanied by distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And so, there will be all of these signs. The unbelieving people of the world will see them. They will be perplexed. Their hearts will fail them for fear when it appears like the whole universe is falling apart right above them. The sea and the waves will be roaring. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And people will see it, but they will not give heed to its message. They will not attend to the signs that the Lord Jesus is coming, and therefore they will remain in impenitence and unbelief. But Jesus says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, they will see Christ returning in glory to judge the living and the dead. They will know exactly who it is because they have spent their entire lives rejecting him and despising him. And so when he comes, they will not wonder and say, I wonder who that could be. They will know exactly who it is who is coming, and they will know exactly what their situation is. Judgment has come, and they are not ready. So Jesus teaches his disciples this, but then he says to his believers, and here is a key and comforting thing. He says, when you see these things, begin to come to pass, then you look up while everyone else is covering their heads and crouching into holes in the ground and caves. You lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When the whole world begins to fall apart, the Christian is invited to take heart, to realize what this means, and to understand that for them, the judgment day will not be a day of retribution and damnation. For them, the day of judgment will be a day of vindication, a day of glorification, a day of a great welcoming home. That will be a glorious and a wonderful day. And so it is that when we see the signs of his coming, we are to look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now, it's a funny use of the word redemption, because we're used to the term redemption being applied to what Jesus did for us on the cross. He redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil by his suffering and his death on the cross. And this is most certainly true. It is exactly what he did. He redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Catechism teaches. But listen, this redemption that we now possess, we possess by faith, not by sight. But on that day, the thing that we now hold and enjoy by faith in the word of Christ, we will see and experience in all of its glory and grandeur. And so, the redemption that we already possess, but we possess it by faith and we don't see it, then we shall enjoy it in such a way that all tears will be wiped away from our eyes. And no amount of suffering in this world will be worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So Jesus says, take heart, your redemption draweth nigh. Judgment day for the believing Christian is not a day for punishment for sin. Your sins have been dealt with by Christ on the cross, in your baptism, through faith in the gospel, in the Lord's Supper. Your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. And therefore they cannot be brought up on the day of judgment. They have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. So he says, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. In the springtime, when the trees begin to bud, and you see the buds coming out on the trees after a long and dismal gray winter, you see these buds beginning to shoot forth, you know that summer is now getting closer and closer. So it is, when you see these things, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So keep your eye on the signs and know them for what they are. They are God's signals, his signs, that his Son is coming, that we may, through repentance and faith, be ready to greet him. And then he says in verse 34, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We need to be vigilant. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to be on guard, because we still have the flesh in us, and we still have the devil attacking us, and we still have the world desiring to squeeze us into its own mold. And therefore, we need to be on guard, to take heed to ourselves, lest we use the excesses and drunkenness of this life and worries about the things of this life to cause us to fall from the faith, so that the day comes upon us not as a longed for and expected day of redemption, but as a snare comes upon an unsuspecting creature. For as a snare it shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Two things. How am I to be worthy to escape all these things? I am worthy to escape all these things when I am trusting that for Christ's sake, my sins are forgiven, and that I am a beloved child of God by grace through faith and not on the basis of my works. And my worthiness to enjoy the kingdom of glory and to escape the judgment and perdition of the ungodly men, my worthiness does not reside in me, but it resides in Christ. And so by a true faith in Christ, we are worthy to escape all these things, and we will be among those not who are swept away in judgment and damnation, but rather of those who remain standing before the Lord, who then leads us into his eternal kingdom of glory in the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.